more time, I just ask the healing to blast all the disease and sickness in the winter time. Amen. In fact, let's pray for Chanel. How are you? Getting heavy? There was a false alarm, and okay, can we pray for you for safe delivery? Why don't you just? This baby's due in 2 weeks, anytime now. So let's just stretch out our hands and pray for the safe delivery. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the baby, Lord, and the life. Lord, in Chanel, Father God, we just commit Chanel to you and this baby boy. Oh Lord, that your hand will be upon them, your Holy Spirit will come upon them, the baby will leap with joy. Oh Father God, we thank you. Jesus, Father, we pray for the safe delivery. You strengthen, Lord, Chanel's, Lord, and the baby will cooperate. Lord, that you will just oversee and let it be a safe, smooth delivery, natural delivery, Lord God. Lord, we just commit this process, Lord God, into your hand. Hallelujah. Father, we pray that there will be no fear, but peace, God, and rest. And Lord, it will be a good fight and a good labor of delivery, Lord. So Lord, we just bless this body. Bless, Lord God, this family in Jesus' name. Sing one more time, just one more time, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Let's just sing the chorus and ask the Spirit of the Living God hover and rest upon us, drive out every sickness, every disease through the cross. Wanted to, be going on. We actually started talking about the cross of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us from the beginning of the year. I think we covered 8 different areas. And in fact, I can go on. But I felt the Holy Spirit sort of pulling me back as far as I can, feel the presence of God. And I felt... Is that okay? The back? Let's pray. Let's just pray for them. Lord Jesus. Let's just pray, gently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. All right, yeah, just praise God. Just keep her in prayer. Her pulse is good. She's okay. Doctors have just told me that she's okay. We'll just keep praying for her. I think there's a little moment of seizure. Okay, are you all right? Surprised. Let's just pray for her, you know. The Lord is moving and, you know, things can happen. And we got to just keep our eyes on the Lord and we believe, you know, the Lord will keep her healthy. Amen. Okay. Can you focus? Is that okay? Okay. All right. There are some professionals there. Some doctors are looking after her. So, okay. All right. It's difficult to start after that. We've been studying about what the cross has done for us, what the Lord has achieved for us. And we've been talking about number of areas. Let me just see if you can start this. Sunny, yeah, if you can just put it on. I'm going to have to go through reasonably quickly. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we declare just complete health and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's good. Yeah. The Lord had given us exchange. And because of his suffering, and because of his blood, because of cross, God had laid upon Jesus all the iniquities, all the consequences of our sin and sicknesses and diseases on Jesus. So, because of Jesus and because of the cross, we receive all these blessings. This is the nature of exchange so far, that through the cross, we receive peace instead of turmoil. We can receive it by faith. All of that, we receive it through faith. We receive forgiveness of our sins instead of condemnation. We receive divine health instead of sickness. We receive righteousness instead of guilt. We receive life instead of death. We receive glory instead of shame. We receive acceptance instead of rejection. And we receive abundance instead of poverty. All that is wonderful. And I felt the Holy Spirit pulling me back and say, don't keep preaching, because this is what the Lord has done for us. This is what the cross does for us. But until we also talk about how cross must work in us, these things will become kind of a theory, unreal. So you gotta talk about and understand what the cross has to do in us. So cross works for us. And all that God had done for us, all the blessings of what the cross did for us, will not be real, will not be made effective unless we let the cross work in us. And that measure of the victory that we experience is proportional to how much we allow the cross to work inside of us. Okay? Amen? Amen. Okay. Amen. So that's a two sides of the cross. We come to the front of the cross. The Lord has done all these wonderful things. And we receive from the Lord freely because God has done for us all these things. But the way and how we appropriate them, in the end, how much we can really retain the blessing of God, depends on how much we allow the work of God to be achieved inside of us. So is there a verse for that? Well, Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So there it is. Yeah. So, we get saved and we hear all these wonderful blessings of what the Lord has done for us and we appropriate them. But if we want to continually follow Jesus, if we want the presence of Jesus to be with us continually, then we must just keep walking with Jesus, otherwise he moves on. In a sense, we get left behind. We can be forgiven, and we can, you know, come to church, we can pray, even get some prayers answered. But the presence of the Lord keeps moving, and unless we follow him, that presence of God, that initial joy that we've had of the joy of the salvation is going to begin to thin out and we'll be left behind. So Jesus says, if you really want to follow me, if you want the presence of God real in your life, and if you want God's blessing real, if you want to continually experience joy, because in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, then we have to keep walking with him. If we just remain static, the presence of God moves on in our lives. And often, we have believers that reflect, 20 years ago, when I first met the Lord, I was joyous. You know, the whole heaven was upon me. But since then, my joy has all gone. And, you know, I'm dry as anything. What's happened? What happened is that Jesus is walking on, and sometimes we're living in the past, we're trying to recapture it, and we are not actively following Jesus. So really, we need to follow the Lord. That's where the joy is and life is. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to do these two things. You got to deny yourself and pick up the cross. Then you can follow. What's that? This means you gotta allow the cross to work inside of you. If we don't, we really don't grow deeper in God. We get stuck in this growth. And the real happiness and joy comes from actually growing in the Lord. When we get stuck somewhere in some juncture, and don't break through into the next phase of growth, spiritual growth and learning, we begin to be miserable. People are very unhappy. Christians are very unhappy when they go through the same loop of testing over and over and over and over again. And only way to go beyond same testing is that we actually grow, break out of this growth spurt, a stunt. Luke says it very, very clear in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus challenges his disciples. And whoever does not bear his cross, take his cross and follow me, cannot be my disciple. So it's not very difficult to walk with Jesus. It's impossible. Unless there is expanding measure of Christ, the cross, working into our life to the degree. So that means, to the degree that cross is worked in me is the degree that cross is worked out in my life. The degree of Christ's victory in my life is also proportional to the degree that we allow the cross of Jesus Christ to do its deep work in us. Amen. So this is a very, very important concept. Because you know what? I think that the greatest danger of modern Christianity, it's not Islam. The greatest danger is not persecution. The greatest danger of modern Christianity, it's a superficial Christianity. And we can build this superficial Christian life. How do we do that? Denying the work of the cross in our life. We become very superficial. Now, when we have superficial Christianity, again, we can have all our sins forgiven. We can pray and get some of our desires answered time to time. But we never go deep. We never take roots deep into the very essence and the person of Jesus Christ. And people who do not grow deep, when we live superficial Christianity, it's very dry. I mean, one indicator, I've shared it before, is a lack of joy. And there is no answer. There is no, you know, the time of trial, in the time of trial, there's nothing to draw from. You don't really have your root sunk into Christ so that when you go through trials, temptations, pains, crisis, you have nothing to draw from Christ. You don't draw from Jesus. You draw from something else. Because there is no relationship there. And your source of comfort is not Christ. You don't find meaning and real help. It's just hollow. Christianity is hollow. For trouble, you don't go to Christ. For trouble, you go for something else. You pain, you don't go for counsel for Christ to receive from God, to hear from God. You receive from, you know, the famous, you know, how-to guys. And you actually draw from the world, draw from other sources. Now that is superficial Christianity. And when you have superficial Christianity, you're okay for a season, but surely season of testing and trial comes because of the Christ seed, the life that God had put inside of you. And people who do not go deep in God, they're accident waiting to happen. Because it will be swept away. You never took roots, never regularly, continually drawn from the cross of Jesus Christ, from the person of Jesus Christ. Our roots are only on the surface. And we have religion, we have friends, we have songs that can make us feel good, but you don't really receive from Christ. So that is very boring form of Christianity. Now that can spread very wide, but until we take roots, see, it's a Christianity with no strength, no wisdom, no power, hollow, no weight. Now this is the most dangerous thing, because Jesus says in the end time, what happens? The great falling away will come. Great deception and also great offense that will come. The only kind of Christianity that will really be meaningful, that will really give you strength, power, wisdom to overcome the world and the sin and the pain and the suffering, is radical Christianity. It's when Jesus Christ is number one in our lives. Okay. Actually, radical simply means its roots. It comes from the Latin word, means roots, means you really go all the way down to the roots into Christ. Okay. So rootless Christ, Christianity Okay, I'll just keep going. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. All right. So thank you guys for coming, yeah, over there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, let me ask you if you can still kind of, focus. This is very interesting. But thank God, they're here. All the help is there. What do you think is the greatest problem, greatest resistance, greatest enemy that you have from going deep in God, taking roots deep into Christ? What is the problem? What's the biggest problem? Self, yeah. Lack of time is another one, yeah. I'm talking about the nature now. Why is it so easy to have superficial Christianity that really doesn't mean the world a whole lot, that you can't really draw life and power from? What is it that resists us from growing deep in God? It's called old man, our sinful nature. Now, old man is not our father. It's our sinful nature. And old man is our greatest enemy. And the old man is a rebel. It's the nature that is independent, that will never submit to God. It's proud, and it is selfish in the center. And this rebel lives inside of us. And it is dominating our life. It really thinks that it's the king, and it runs our life, and it's got beastly nature. It's actually on the throne. When Christ comes in, me, myself, my ego, but there is more than just the ego. There is a nature that is a corrupt, that is taking residence inside of us, that is fighting us from growing in Christ. And it's invisible. And therefore, very seldom we notice this two nature fighting inside of us until you're trying to follow Christ. Then this thing comes alive and begin to overpower us. This is a beast, and it's a rebel. And when we are before Christ, we didn't know this. We thought that you are a single person. But this rebel wants to operate in hidden, and it always pushes you around. And it's setting agenda and priority in your life. And it's throwing tantrums. And it's bringing you into slavery and bondage of its own rule. And when you are in slavery, you can never be happy and free. Christians who have not learned to say no to myself, to himself, are very, very unhappy people. Unhappy people. If somebody is unhappy all the time, and all the time, even though the presence of God is there, somebody who has received salvation and all the joy, all the blessings of God, but who are continually miserable, you have to check something inside of us. Is that somebody else is running your life, not Christ. Problem is inside of us. It's insidiously destroying our life. Can you imagine a two-year-old is like a king and throwing tantrums every 5 minutes. I want this, I want that. You give it, and the whole family is trying to serve this thing. You give ice cream, and then you throw it away. I want to watch TV, and 2 minutes later, doesn't want it, runs off that way. I mean, it's going to wreak havoc in our life. Yeah? Complete disorganized havoc. And unless we recognize this nature that looks like me, to me, that is also trying to assert its own authority over our lives, and then learning to say no, guess what? We will be slaves all our lives, and we will never reach our potential. will always be very, very sad. Always, there will be no joy because there is no joy in slavery. And it's a beast. Do you know the song? Okay. Do you know the song in 1970, I think, you know, by Eagles? Welcome to the Hotel California. Hotel California, everybody knows this. It's got really nice tune. And it's very, and there are some words there. I was in high school when I listened to this song, and it really caught me. And some of the words there, it says, a mirror on the ceiling, the pink champagne on ice. And she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just cannot kill the beast. I thought it was, oh, it's like, sense, you know, chill down my spine. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had a fine passage. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the night man. We are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Chill. There is a beast. And you try to kill it with a steely knife, but cannot kill this beast that is running our life. It's a beast. And you know what? This is a bully inside. It's a bully. It cannot be trained. It cannot be taught in Sunday school. It's corrupt through and through. And as long as you allow this beast to run your life, you'll always be frustrated, will always be unhappy, and we will sabotage our own life. There's a pattern of sabotaging our blessing. It comes from this beast that cannot be tamed, and we have no power to kill it because this is a very nature, sin nature, that we've inherited from Adam. It's a tyrant. You know what? A scary thing is this nature cannot receive inner healing ministry and be healed. You can't even inner heal it. This is a very sin nature. There's only one way to deal with it. You know how you deal with it? Execution. That's it. Now, there's a difference. There's a hurt, you know, personality, our soul can be healed, but there is something deeper in us, a rebel that is inside of every single person, even a little child, you know, 5 or 6 year old, you begin to surface, they begin to test your boundary and do the opposite of what you say. And, you know, it's something in the person. And that person, most of our life, wants to operate hidden from the plain view. It operates hidden. That's what it wants. And continually insinuating and destroying our lives. So Paul is saying of this tyrant, Paul, Apostle Paul, after he become Christian, does so much, you know, build the churches, serving the Lord, walking with God. And he says in Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He recognizes as soon as you're trying to serve God and live for God, see, as soon as you begin to challenge this thing that thinks that it's king, sitting on the throne, it begins to surface, and it is a bully. It is a beast. It pushes us around. And he finds that there is nothing in me that can overpower this beast. Kill this beast. He says, I will do what I want. I will submit to no one. I will, you know, do what I feel. And what it does is always drawing attention away from himself and point at something else. Because of that person, because of this and because of that, I want this and that and the other. Now, how do we deal with it? It's Christ. Now, I wanted to show that this we have to deal with this. The way we deal with it is going to revolutionize our Christian life. And there are some, you know, things that this inner fallen nature feeds off from. I want to deal with it, you know, in the next few weeks. If I can draw a diagram, it draws from the law, draws from the flesh, draws from the spirit of the age, and it draws from the world. And there is a deliverance from this through the cross. And Galatians talks about these four elements. And in the center is self-centeredness, independence. And it always was independence. Never wants to submit to any law, any of, you know, a God. There's only one way God deals with it: execute. You can't teach Bible verses. You deal with it. We can't do it. You know what? The grace of God is that Jesus dealt with it on the cross. Jesus actually dealt with it on the cross. Romans, if we really realize this, this is a game changer for your Christian life. This is a game changer, truth and revelation. And because it's so conceptual, a lot of Christians don't realize it. And you know, this, you're fighting against this hidden enemy, invisible enemy within you all the time, and gets beaten up, thinking, it never work. I'll never be able to, you know, walk holy life. It's because we don't know what Christ has done, and there is a process whereby you are set free. You know, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who can set me free from this body of sin, this sin nature that is crushing me every time?" And he says, "Thanks be to God. There is a victory, there is a way out in Christ Jesus." Now, what Jesus has actually done is that in Romans 6:6-7, he says, "Knowing this, that can we read it together? Old man, sinful nature, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, this is watershed moment. And Paul says, knowing this, he knows this, that this old nature that has been dominating all of his life, even after one becomes born again Christian, it's still there, still works. And he says, "I've identified my real enemy, invisible enemy, that has been hitting me from behind, pulling me away, pushing me down, and pushing me away from what I really love. I've identified it. It is not me, real me, my spirit being is another being, another enemy, another me. It's an old nature that I've inherited from Adam. That's where the problem is. And Christ, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die for my sin, but my old nature, Adamic nature, that had been flowing down through my bloodline has been crucified in Christ. Jesus Christ has dealt with this thing and taken a blow, stepped on it, and says, "I am stronger. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the King of Kings." And Paul says, "I know this. I know this." He says, "My old man has been crucified." This is the spiritual truth. That the body of sin, the power of sin that brings me into captivity, might be done away with. Actual word is not really, old nature is not put away. It's been put out of operation. Its power is suspended, so that as long as we live in on earth, the nature is there, but you can cut off its power source, so that it doesn't overpower you every single time. You can deal with the roots. Radical Christianity, deal with the root source of all the problem in my life. It can be rendered inoperable. You know how when you, some people, you know, hear something and suddenly blood pressure goes up and there is no control. Bah! There is a power source that feeds that old nature. And Paul says, through Christ, you can deal with the power source. Again. And then this old man can be put out of operation. You can put it in the coffin, nail it, and keep it there. But every now and then, it's going to knock, open the door, open the door, and it draws from the sources, law, flesh, spirit of this age, and the world, and it receives my flesh. You give in with the flesh, it receives strength. And you go, kum. And you give in to spirit of the age, and it receives another strength, and then the mummy comes alive, takes over you, and take your body, and take over. And even though your soul is saved, it's being saved, your spirit is saved, see, our life can be just destroyed, rampant by this beast that lives inside of us. So we've got to tame this beast. This is where the success of Christian life lies. And it's more than knowing strategies, because it's a powerful nature that has to be put out of operation. And it's done by faith, okay? And when we do that, to that degree that you kill the beast, we are free from sin. We are free from all these things. And then, even though it's a spiritual truth, he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's true. So we need to know that. That's what happened. This nature has no power over me. Then you gotta reckon it so, because it is true. And there is a bit of a process. Paul says again and again, see, I have been crucified with Christ. He's talking about that. Old me, old Paul, who kills Stephen, you know, who gets the blood pressure up all the time, have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay. Now, Ephesians, let's read together. There's a little bit of process there, but Ephesians 4:21-22. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's a very, very interesting. Actually, when you look at the whole context, Paul is talking about others who are so-called Christians, but whose lifestyle clearly tells that they haven't put off the old man. Therefore, their life is full of sin, like Gentiles, and basically they live like any other person. It's because there's something's not been done. You gotta put off and put on. But he's saying, there's some who are learning Christ this way. There is no change. It's a surface Christianity. No change. But he says, you have not learned Christ this way. You've learned Jesus as truth is in Jesus. That is, you learn to put off and put on. Okay? Now, who is going to do the putting off and putting on? Yeah, we do. We do. This is the thing. It's hard, it's because it's conceptual. After Christ, because you are Christian, Christ is in you, there is a grace of God to put off. Before Christ is in us, we are all slaves to sin. We cannot say, we have freedom to choose which sin I'm gonna sin, okay? Instead of this, I'm gonna go there. But you are slave to sin. After Christ comes in, that Christ gives us power to say no. So for the first time, we have power, freedom not to sin, and the freedom in the Spirit of God to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. Now, the key word about the old nature is corrupt. Corrupt, it's corrupt. Even in Christian, the old Adamic nature that lives side by side with new nature is corrupt, and it is continually getting corrupted. Now, this is a shocking thing. Even though I'm a Christian, even though you're Christian, you allow that old nature to run your life. That old nature is not any better. Even in Christian life, your nature still goes worse and worse and worse and worse if you let it run your life. Often we think, once I'm Christian, my old nature will get better and better and better. No, no, no. And the second one is, it's very deceitful. See, that thing doesn't want to be known that it's there, that nature is dominating your life. So what it does is, very often, it draws attention from the real problem and points out all kinds of problem in other people, in elsewhere, the circumstances. Why? Because as soon as you begin to blame other people for your problem, see, it's hidden. The real problem that ruins our life is, it's the fight with our old nature. That actually is the one, only thing that can make us unfruitful as Christian. That is the real problem. The enemy number one that destroy God's blessing and God's purpose in your life is this old nature that will never be satisfied, will never be happy, will always be demanding and always complaining, always blaming. And it's a nature. It's not, you know, just personality difference. We all have this nature and we have to expose it. We have to know it. When you know it, it makes difference. Oh, so it wasn't just, you know, I'm really worse than everybody else. You suddenly realize, oh, you know, it's not because I am just so bad and everybody else will be okay. No, we are all hopeless. We have to deal with this thing. What about the new man? New man is very exciting. New man is created in Christ. Recreated in Christ according to holiness and life, okay, and truth. This is a holiness. You can actually translate it slightly differently. It's the holiness and the righteousness that comes out of truth. It means we need to face the truth about ourselves, that there is this sin nature that is trying to run our life, that it's there. In all its ugliness, it's there. And when we face it and acknowledge it, then we begin to really isolate problem, the deep problem, and then we can begin to deal with it. How do we deal with it? Yep, we do it by faith, but there is a process here. What is the process? Process is between putting off and putting on. There's something. What is it? It's called renewing of the spirit of our mind. What does that say? It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit, that the light comes on us. And the word renewing has this word of going up, ascending. See, we used to think a whole lot of horizontal way of thinking. It's that problem. And then suddenly, as the Holy Spirit comes on you, your mind, your thoughts, by the Holy Spirit gets lifted up, and you can see, oh, that actually is not the real problem. I can see the real enemy, that's you. And you begin to, your thoughts begin to rise upwards. You begin to see God. Oh, you begin to see hope in Christ, and not get caught in this cycle of hopelessness and usually blaming elsewhere or other people. It's just hopeless because it's going to happen again and again. You can see that, oh, I need to change. It brings us to a place of repentance and faith in God. Okay. So that's the process. The Holy Spirit comes, and then we go, our thought begin to go upward as the Holy Spirit illuminates. And what about this nature, new nature in us? I'm going to just finish it here. New nature, two things about the nature of God. See, When you get born again, there is a beast, and it's on the throne, and it's running your life. It tries to run your life, and you say, no, no, this is not what I want. And then you get saved. Oh, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Comes in new nature. And this new nature is very interesting. This one is, it cannot be tarnished by sin. He says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So there is a nature of God in you that won't sin. When I first read it, you know, we all get confused. Like, oh, I got born again. I sinned many times. Does that mean I'm not born again? No, no, no. It's talking about the nature of God, life of God that's supernaturally birthed in you. That nature of God, though it looks very small, it won't sin. It will not compromise. You rejoice in the law of God. And the second one, very one. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The life of God that is in you, that has been deposited in you, overcomes sin, overcomes the world, overcomes all the problems. Let's take it another way. Would you be happy to know that whatever problem you're facing, whatever problem you're facing in the world, and you struggle with sin, the answer is already inside of you? That means the devil really doesn't have power over you, because actually it's in your hand. It overcomes the world, your fear, whatever you're afraid of, it overcomes. That overcoming life, if it is a seed of God, if you're born again, the seed of God is in you, that'll do all the overcoming. Now you gotta beat this thing that is trying to kill me. No, no. Inside, the seed of God overcomes. Now, then what do we do? What would devil wanna do? If devil knows that inside of you is all the power to overcome, you know, he can throw all kinds of sin, it won't work. Throw all kinds of tricks, it won't work. It's in there, but it's very small. You don't even recognize it. It's like a little boy has a gun. And then the huge thief broke into the house, has a gun, but don't know much about the gun. You do everything you can to distract the boy from learning about the gun. What the devil will do is that he will do everything in his power to distract us to surface issues of life. Surface issues. As long as we are preoccupied with surface issues, very urgent but surface, very hurtful but surface, very disappointing but surface, or very happy, all surface. As long as we are preoccupied with surface and we don't even know the difference between what is behind my heart, pulling my tuck towards godliness, direction of God, and the other direction. What is behind? If you don't even recognize the difference, devil's won for a time being. Because all the power is in us, but we are not using it. We're not even connecting with this life of God, this seed of God, because it comes as a seed form. And until we get quiet and be in contact with the very life of God, don't quite draw from it, because your all energy is trying to fight things outside. And Christ is saying, no, no, no. Draw from me deeper. I believe this is very, very important. Rather than we just have to reject superficial Christianity where Christ doesn't touch the deepest issues, most important issues of your heart and life. So long as you water the seed, see, you gotta nurture the life of God in you, and all the other things are taken care of. So the key is you deal with the old man, right? And you nurture the life of God. I want to share a bit about, you know, these things, how to deal with what empowers this thing and how it works and how you nurture the life of God, seed of God in you. How do you water it? So you water it. It's the most powerful force. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's a difficult one. You've been very, very attentive. Can we actually close in song? You know, at the center of this thing, this beast, is the this self-centeredness. I don't know how much I want to say. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with our problems that we let it set the agenda of our life. And people, when we focus on ourselves and our problems all the time as a habit, the more self-centered we become, and the more slaves to self we become. So it's not gonna really give us an answer. Just fighting problems and focusing on the problems. We gotta focus on Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think that's enough. Yeah. Yeah. Can we sing the first one I asked? In Christ. In Christ alone.
Thank you.
there's a revelation, illumination of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly you realize the real enemy you've been fighting is not someone or something or some situation. It's actually someone inside, from within. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus and the Christ, in Christ, 2,000 years ago, this beast has been slain by the power of Christ. Amen. So that we can be set free from the tyranny of these unrelenting demands of the bully that lives inside of us, that wants all the attention. Look at me. Make me happy. Do this for me. Pray for me. All the problem. Look at me. I'm the victim. This thing has arrested, and let it be put to death. Reckon it dead. Be released from the power, from under it, that the cross of Jesus Christ work in and be released. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever wants to hold on to this old nature, to live on and to control my life, will find death, will die. If we live according to the demands of this bully, this tyrant, this old man. But in Christ, hallelujah, we've been released from the power of it, that we may be free, that the joy may flow in our life, that Christ's undefeatable life over sin and world will take hold in our life, that we may take deep roots in Christ, and in the power of Christ we will stand. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you will, Lord God, just unfold. It's been delivered, Lord. I feel so poorly, but Holy Spirit, that you can deliver it, oh God, that you can enlighten this truth, oh God, into every one of our hearts, oh God, and set us free, oh God, Lord, from rampage of this beast from within, Lord, that the garden of God will grow, that we will tend our garden, that the seed of the overcoming life, Lord, will be, Lord, watered, Lord, will be nurtured, Lord God, that there will be a fullness of your fruit and the Christ-likeness in your people, Lord God. So, Lord, I ask your blessing and rich revelation in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Lord bless you and keep you. I love you so much. I love you, really. And I find it so difficult to, you know, say hard things. And I struggle a lot today. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will, you know, take your hand and walk you through and give you victory in every area of your life. Really love you. Love you. Amen. Okay. If you, you know, want prayer, you can. I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, there's the tea and coffee out there.